Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and endless temporal voids. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my variant versions of myself. John Moltz is here. Hi, John.
A void of tempora sounds terrible. I love tempora.
Don't avoid it. Don't avoid the tempora.
I don't. I can never avoid it.
Guy English is also here. Hi, Guy.
A void of tempora seems like something that would fit into this show. Just
oh yeah, like a bad just guy like a, on
yeah, it's like on
Legends
gone wild
on Legends.
Yeah,
Legends seems like the kind of show that could go into a Red Lobster.
That's true. Yeah, an endless yeah. Like oh, yeah. Biscuit bowl or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like something bad happens in a Red Lobster, and they have to go collect an alien.
Nothing good happens at Red Lobster after 2 a.m. I think is the what basically what it
is. Is that true? I don't know. Yeah,
I you know I'm not a scientist, so I can't say for sure. But that's my feeling.
Or a crustacean.
We are here to discuss episode 5 of Loki. We're on single track this week because there's no Legends of Tomorrow episode, so we just get to devote an entire show.
Not that I dislike the other show. It's just it's easier to do one.
Yeah, we're working hard.
Yeah, we're on the road. You know. I have watched The Bad Batch and most of Black Widow so far this morning.
Yeah, I'm about a third the way through Black Widow. Yeah, I stopped to record this podcast.
Look at these guys.
I'm feeling like I've done a lot of superhero work already for Friday morning.
You've done the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
But we are here to discuss episode 5, which is entitled Journey into Mystery. Ooh. And I think John is on recap duty.
I am. Okay, so let's go. Classic Loki tells Loki, the Loki names are going to be real challenging. That they have to move or they're going to be Eliath's lunch, Eliath being the giant cloud creature that is chasing everybody in where they are, which we don't know what it is yet. Sylvie takes Renslayer's temp pad. Renslayer says she doesn't know who's behind the TVA, but that Loki is still alive. That pruned people go to the void at the end of time. Now we know what it is. And she also wants to know who lied to her. And she says that she'll help Sylvie if she trusts her. And Sylvie gives her the temp pad back. In the void, the Lokis explain that Eliath eats... It's Eliath, yes. Okay.
Eliath.
I see it typed...
It begins with an A. Yeah.
Yeah, I always want to pronounce it Alioth, but it's Eliath. Anyway, he eats everything that comes to the void, and there are a lot of Lokis there because Lokis survive. That's what they do. Kid Loki is in charge because he killed his Thor, and they head to the underground lair past a mess of Easter eggs. Renslayer says there's no way to get past the void, but Sylvie wants to go through it and to find out who created the TVA, who is clearly hiding at the end of time. Renslayer and Miss Minutes are basically kind of trying to stall her, and in comes some Minutemen, and Sylvie prunes herself to get away. The Lokis are enjoying some wine and exchange barbs and stories. Classic Loki had cast a projection of himself to get away from Thanos and then spent years in solitude. Eventually, he got lonely, and as he was going to leave the planet he was on, he got nabbed by the TVA. Loki says
what I
he's going...
about that is that he was okay. Like, if he had scooted out from Thanos and just sat on a planet and not have contributed to anything... Fine.
Done anything, yeah. Yeah.
Fine.
But he was gonna go do something.
Right. Once you re-engage, we gotta prune you. Not not because you're bad, but because it's deviating, right?
So Yeah.
It makes sense. Richard E. Grant is a
weirdly, he's fabulous. He's delightful.
He's just so great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Loki says he's going to kill Eliath, and they find that hilarious. He goes out of the tube and finds President Loki and his horde. Sylvie wakes up in the void and gets chased by Eliath, and she touches him briefly, and as she's running, and she gets the idea to enchant it, and a pizza delivery car comes barreling up, and it's Mobius, and they drive off together. boastful Loki turns
out.
Can we
give a second to appreciate how great Luke Wilson driving up in a pizza car would be for us?
Also, I don't know if this is an Easter egg or not, but there's like a hula dancer on the dashboard, which was featured in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They put that hula dancer on the dash of the ship. In the end of season 6 or something like that.
I'm thinking Toy Story. Like, I thought there was a hula dancer there, but yeah,
There might have been.
Definitely, Coulson has a hula dancer because of Tahiti, right?
Yeah. So, right. Yeah. So I don't know if that was intentional or any way related, or if it was just like, we'll put a hula dancer on the dash. Yeah. Anyway, so boastful Loki has betrayed kid Loki, but President Loki has betrayed him, and then his men have betrayed him in turn, basically showing that Loki's can't be trusted. Alligator Loki bites candidate Loki's hand off and fight, fight, fight. Classic Loki, kid Loki, alligator Loki, and regular Loki escape. They say that they'll help Loki get close to Eliath, but that's it. Sylvie and Mobius make amends.
Dan has dropped off for a moment, but also, how great is it that on the week of July the 4th that we get President Loki versus King Loki?
That's like, true. Why
do you have both? Like, none of it makes sense. All of it is just arbitrary, like self-aggrandizement. It's just, yeah. It's wild. Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. Last week, I think I called him Croco Loki, but it's definitely an alligator. That's a camel dromedon sort of.
Oh yes, right. Up. Yeah,
yeah. I never get that mistake.
That's okay. But it's the other thing I was going to point out is that a classic Loki casts an illusion that is this, so that the others think the three of them are still there, or the four of them, I guess. And then he creates a portal and they step through. So he's got some skills, that guy. Which I think we will see later as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's more super than most, and more self-aware, I think, than...
Yeah, and also Richard E. Grant's, his style when he casts spells is over-the-top, is over-the-top and great.
Yeah, he's so fun.
Yeah. Sylvie and Mobius make amends, and then they head back toward Eliath because she wants to enchant it. Loki says that he's going to sneak around the back and kill Eliath, and then he watches it kill an entire boat full of people, and he realizes that's not going to work very well.
That boat is a real thing. It's like the Philadelphia experiment boat.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, real, quote unquote, real thing.
It's a thing that's showed up before.
It's like an X-Files episode
Then Sylvie and Mobius pull up. Sylvie explains her plan, which is better than Loki's. Back in the TVA, Renslayer has Hunter B-15, and Renslayer says the TVA needs stability, but B-15 realizes that she just wants to know who's behind the TVA as well, but she knows that Sylvie is going to get there first. Sylvie and Loki awkwardly discuss their Nexus event, which is adorable, and its potential meaning. Neither of them is used to being close to someone. Loki conjures a cloak for the both of them. Loki says he betrayed everyone he loved, but that's not who he is anymore. Mobius is going back to the TVA to deal with Renslayer. Kid Loki, and he has a nice moment with Loki. Kid Loki gives Loki his sword, and Loki and Sylvie head toward Eliath. Loki creates a distraction as Sylvie tries to enchant Eliath, but it doesn't quite work, and Eliath heads towards Sylvie until classic Loki creates a giant illusion of Asgard. Loki and Sylvie then hold hands and take on Eliath together. Classic Loki gets swallowed up, and Loki and Sylvie enchant Eliath. The clouds part, and there's a castle of some kind, which they walk toward together. And there's no bumper.
Yeah, no bumper.
To this episode, yeah.
I feel like a lot happened and very little happened. I sort of expected a little bit more movement from episode 5, and that giant, I mean, I kind of wish Dan was here, but basically, we got...
I was going to say, we lost Dan somewhere. How did we lose Dan?
I don't know. Do you know what? Like, let's pause and try to reconnect, because, now that we've done that, it's his recording, too.
I don't know. I was sort of assuming that was the case, because you were chiming in, and then we were getting absolutely nothing from him.
No, we lost him, and I was like, okay, well, let's just keep going, and after the recap... You know, let's try to make things work.
Where did his internet totally died for me. Roll with it if you can, and I'll get back when I can. Okay, so should we just keep going?
Yeah.
I think one of the big themes here is the big juxtaposition is sort of between the fact that there are all these other Lokis in the void and how they constantly keep trying to backstab each other and one up each other, and there's betrayals left and right, and then we have this budding relationship between Loki and Sylvie, and the question that's on the table is like, you know, and she asks him, you know, how do I know that you're not going to betray me in the end? And you know, that's what we'll see next week, I guess. But it's an interesting it's an interesting question, and I like how they set up that problem, I guess.
Because I think he's sweet on her.
I don't think there can be any mistaking the fact that he does like her that way, right?
Right. Yeah, and it's not a hot to trot kind of a thing. He's just
He's in love. He's head over heels in love. Right. Yeah,
Go ahead.
No, it's just like that's the first, and they both say that this is new for me. I don't know what's going on here. I have all these feelings and I can't deal with, and I don't know how to process this. And it's so cute. I mean, you know, there's a couple of, I don't know their exact ages, but they're at least in their late 30s. Maybe he's in his early 40s or something like that. And they're playing it like a couple of teenagers, and it's charming. They would have had it. But apparently not, because they're the gods of mischief, and
well, that's so self-centered.
That's how your life goes, I guess, when you're a god of mischief.
Yeah,
you don't have these relationships.
I sort of liked the way that it is being played, in that it is a surprise to both of them. Like they didn't believe.
Right. Yeah. That's the other. That's right. Yeah. Neither of them were expecting. Yeah. Neither of them were expecting it, for sure. Yeah. Completely. Yeah.
Yeah. So that works. Okay. There's a little weirdness with like falling in love with yourself, which.
Sure. Yeah. But they're different. Yeah. You know, they're different
they're
people.
Very and different. They, and in fact, they she's give her, so different.
Yeah.
She's the only female Loki we've seen so far.
Yes.
I don't know about the crocodile. Sorry. The alligator.
That's true. Yeah. We haven't. No one has sexed the crocodile. Alligator. Yeah, I did it too. Yeah.
I do think it's interesting that she seems different from all of the others, right? Like, classic Loki seems like he's learned the lessons that our Loki is trying to learn, but when he was presented with them, he gave up.
I guess so, right? Yeah, well, and all
until
of them
confronted
yeah,
the, with like the yeah, Loki that you know
that that group of the group of the three of them who we are not boastful Loki, but the other three seem to have just sort of resigned themselves to their lot until he shows up anyway.
Different lots. Like,
yeah, I guess Dan's back from the void.
I'm back from the void. I mean, yeah. What I liked a lot about...
I mean,
about,
I try to banish this guy every single time. And it just,
sometimes it works better than others. Sticks. Richard
you
E. Grant,
gotta take
I thought,
the tempad.
I like casting Richard E. Grant as an older Tom Hiddleston because they do kind of look alike.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good casting. And
they
it's
look
good.
Enough alike, and they...
The manner.
Richard E. Grant can chew the scenery.
Yes.
Like
yes.
he can do it, yeah. you know?
But I liked yeah. that yeah. is his foible, you know, sort of was, like, he's the Loki who evaded one too many times, right? Like, he got away from his death, and by doing that, he just decided, like, you know, everything that had that our version of the Loki in the original timeline, right, pre the series, had learned and grown, etc.
Oh, true, right.
Right, so he had all those experiences, which means that in that moment, he realized, like, okay, I've learned all this stuff and dealing with all these different things. Maybe it is best if I just withdraw. But in the end, that even that didn't save him, right? Because he was isolated from everybody.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. One thing we briefly discussed while you were conjuring spells, which sounds like you were on the toilet, but you weren't. You were just...
thanks well, we don't know that.
The internet wasn't there.
Yeah.
Was that... This Loki was a plucked at a time, but also sort of made to accelerate things in a way that our previous Loki didn't do. And we're sort of stuck with, I don't know, we didn't directly discuss this, but ultimately the way we see Loki right now is like some amalgam, right? Like, it is what we know he can be from the MCU and where we know he is from this show. And he is somewhere in that state between being the guy that tried to take out Thanos and the guy that sort of ran away, ultimately, at the end of the Avengers. And I think it's telling where he lies, because where we see things be peeled back in the subsequent movies that he's in, I think the show is like doing a much faster job of it, obviously. Mostly because he's got more screen time. But it is revealing that those things were always there in a way. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
This is a pressure cooker of a show, right. And we've put that onion, that ugly onion, in a pressure cooker, and it's going to come out soft and sweet and delicious, and we'll put it on something nice.
I go back to where, the void for
whereas
some
with
lunch,
the Avengers plot, we've got like, I don't know, like weird adversity, and every now and then Iron Man zaps him in the face. It's a
skillet. It's a different vibe. You're caramelizing, but it's going to take some time. You're going to do it like a low heat over a long period of time. Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
This metaphor holds up. Like an onion, it has many layers.
Sure.
I agree. I think what we are realizing is that this Loki and the Loki from our original timeline, for lack of a better word, they're clearly still the same person. It just they confronted different experiences, but in some ways the end result was the same in terms of the person, the crucible, like that he goes through to distill him to the same ultimate, like, redeemable character. And I think that's spot on. I think that's definitely true.
Yeah.
So have we ventured into the, have we got conspiracies yet? There always are.
Oh, yeah. I said that the basic thing that they're setting up for at least the last episode is just that the question as to whether or not, like, they are really overcoming things, or if they're just saying they're overcoming things,
right?
Because it's a Loki, and they make the point very well, I think, in this episode, that they have all these Lokis that constantly turn on each other and backstab each other to no real gain. And hopefully that they are learning something from that, and we'll be able to change. I mean, that's the question of, like, the whole part of this. One of the questions of the whole series is simply that, you know, whether or not you can change as a person and become something that is very, very different than your inherent nature.
Yeah. And I think that will ultimately lead us maybe into a conspiracy corner. But first, let's take maybe a trip down Loki Lane and examine the Lokis that we did. Fine, right?
Loki Lane, by the way, yeah. My favorite Clark Kent love interest.
Yeah, sure.
I honestly would not put it past that actually being a 1968 kind of like Superman story. Yeah.
Sure.
Along with like pink kryptonite that makes him wear a dress, because that's just, did a lot of really brutal things.
Bad choices. They made bad choices back then. Yeah,
exactly.
In the 60s?
Well, do you know what? They probably felt great given, you know, given the diet they were on. I guess the question is, why? I don't know. I'm trying to formulate this in a way that makes sense. But the Lokis that we've seen, very few of them seem to be on the up and up. And of the Lokis that we were most familiar with, we got classic Loki, boastful Loki, alligator Loki, and Sylvie and Kid Loki. A number of them seem to group up and be cast outs, right? Like at least running away from President Loki. What is it that they have in common as characters? I guess we can put aside boastful Loki because he seems like he was just a jackass.
Yeah,
right.
Or, you know, at least betrayed them.
So he's not. He's not.
He also lied. He also lied about his accomplishments. Like he was the one who, you know, when they were talking about the things that they did, was had said something or like, yeah, right.
Right.
He
right.
Clearly didn't do it. Didn't do any of those things.
You could kind of tell that from his Mew Mew, right? Like it's clearly fake. So,
I mean, I think to answer your question, Guy, I think that all of them have come to a degree of self-realization, right? Like
yes.
And that's what I think draws them together is they're all variants who have realized kind of who they are and have also decided to maybe change or at least become comfortable with that in a way that I think the others that we've seen tend to be clinging still to this, like, yes, I realize this is the void, but, you know, basically where is there not a power structure that a Loki can climb their way to the top of, right? Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah, even boastful Loki has got to the point where he's like, well, I know this is dumb, so I'm just going to try to fit in, I guess.
Right, but he wants to be king still, right? Like, that's his all. He betrays because he thinks he's going
to be king. He wants to be king with the president being president, which is, I don't even know what that means. Do you know what? It's Loki in the Avengers movie, where it's like, well, I get to be ruler of Earth and Thanos gets to rule the universe.
Right,
which
right.
is.
But I mean, I will betray them at my first available opportunity.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was definitely no shift. And Mobius makes that point. Like, you know, like what would happen if, like, once you were king of the earth? And he's like, well, then I'd want to go on and be king of the universe. And then, and it's like, and then you'd be happy.
Yeah,
right.
I would have given good money for a flashback scene at the like a post credits flashback scene of Owen Wilson interviewing Alligator Loki. I think that would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So
he says alligator. He doesn't remember. He doesn't remember Alligator Loki. Yeah.
God,
Owen Wilson hanging like out with the Lokis is a lot of fun. By the way,
that was good. Yeah,
that was pretty good.
That was really good.
I enjoyed that bit.
Yeah.
So we have. Essentially, going into the last episode, like we have like two parallel tracks happening, right? Because we have wherever Loki and Sylvie are headed beyond Alioth, and then we have Mobius heading back to the TVA, presumably to have a showdown with Renslayer, because obviously, you know,
right.
that's set up and figure out is sort of attacking the TVA from two different ends, as it were.
And I'm not completely clear on her deal, right? Renslayer's because I'm not sure what her game is yet. It does seem
conflicting stuff, right? Like, because we've seen, she tells Sylvie something, and we can't necessarily.
But she sets her up too. Like, she's stalling. She's stalling, waiting for the Minutemen.
The conversation that she has later with B-15 and the insight that B-15 has into what, you know, she is thinking. Suggest at least part of that is true, right? Like at least some of what she told Sylvie is actually true.
Did you guys like that scene where she was talking to Sylvie?
Yeah,
First of all, it's weird because, obviously, time travel show, but Sylvie captures her in the throne room. And then we cut to a court, which I'm like, okay, that's weird.
I think the only reason that they did that is so that she could jump behind the thing, you know, like, so the Minutemen could come in and then you set up this sort of not hostage situation, but, you know, like talking or trying to talk her out. Yeah. But like, yeah. And they don't explain how they got down the elevator or anything. So I thought that was
a
little weird.
It's not a show where I need a lot of explanations, but when you end one episode and then you jump to another episode and it's a totally different scene setting.
Yeah, when they're in a different,
it feels unfair. Right. You know, like, if it had happened in one episode, I would have been okay. Yeah. But, the jump made me feel a little weird.
I mean, maybe also, you can only use Miss Minutes downstairs. I have no idea.
Well, whatever.
I'm coming up with no win solutions here.
Yeah. Also, Renslayer didn't comment on her bosses being robots.
Yeah.
Right.
Not pro or nonplussed.
Like, what was in there? Okay,
well, yeah, I knew it. Already or known like that I didn't know in, it. Right. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So it seems like it could go either way. I think she does want to know what's going on. She doesn't know and she wants to know what's going on.
I think it could also still be
that she's covering up for whoever is actually running the TVA.
Do you think there's any chance that it's her? Like that she's the one behind?
I don't think it's her. I mean, I suppose there's a chance, but
I
don't know.
Because
she seems like she's lying to Miss Minutes, even like because she's telling Miss Minutes to go get the documents that are the records of the creation of the TVA.
Yeah, Miss Minutes is playing along, and, which makes me think that Miss Minutes is not the ultimate either.
Yeah, yeah. Also, yeah, that was another conspiracy theory that I don't know. Did we talk about that last week? But that's something that we saw.
I texted you about it. Miss Minutes is another character that we haven't seen. Maybe that's the thing. But
yeah. Right, right.
Economy of characters. We are short on
that's true.
People, right? Like there aren't a lot.
Which is well, and we talked about that last week, and that's why I think we. So at least I consider the most likely solution to this is that it's another Loki.
Let's head into Conspiracy Corner.
Okay.
John, did you bring
I did not bring the corner with me. Also, there's still no explanation of why the corner has a door.
I'll have to keep, I mean, I keep get, the conspiracy okay, theories in.
Hey, hang on. Here we go. Here we go.
That sounds
it's a much quieter door. It's a much quieter door where I am.
He didn't bring Conspiracy Corner with him when he doesn't realize it's always in his mind.
That's true. I think you're right. I think of it as an actual place.
Yeah. This episode felt a little bit maneuvering things around. I don't know how you guys felt. Like, we learned a lot. And at the same time, I don't know, Parallax from the Green Lantern movie / Galactus from like the Silver Surfer Fantastic Four movie. What was that? Like, it was an arbitrary block. Yeah, block to get past this episode.
Right, right. It's a
and
thing
while
to get
we
past.
We learned
yeah.
a bunch of stuff in this episode. I don't think that.
I think it sets up the dilemma or the supposed dilemma in your mind about whether or not these two Lokis who are our heroes are going to be able to overcome their inherent programming. Basically,
these two crazy kids can make it work.
These two crazy kids can make it work in a world full of Lokis.
Well, I guess,
right,
I guess
which
what
is
I was
where
gonna
I get
say,
to like who's on the throne. Sorry, Dan,
right? No, it's fine. I was just gonna say. So it reminded me a bit of the third episode, right, on the planet where there's a lot of running around,
a little bit, stuff. But yeah,
I thought this was.
I thought this. Yes, I agree. Yes,
I enjoyed it, and I thought, for example, the scene with the two of them and the blanket
mm-hmm.
was mm-hmm. an excellent scene. And I understand that you needed that third episode in order to set some of the groundwork for it, but I felt like more was accomplished in that scene for me than in many of the previous episodes.
So it's
kind of a spin on it, but I think it was more successful. To Guy's point about it, like, yes, there is still like sort of the arbitrary nature of having a obstacle there that needs to be overcome at the end. I didn't mind it. I thought that it was kind of cool looking, special effects wise, and I thought that like I didn't necessarily need to know at least immediately what its deal is, other than it is terrifying and you clearly see its power demonstrated.
I guess I think I would have wanted these holding pattern scenarios to be a little bit more involved in bringing out character rather than just obstacles.
Well, but I think it was effective in that regard. I mean, at least I thought that the interactions with the other Lokis and the interactions between Loki and Sylvie were well-served.
But what was that creature asking of you? Like, what was the test beyond we're going to use her magic to get over it? Like, it wasn't a test of faith. It was a test of character, right?
It's a test of character, yeah.
Yeah, because you're not just running away. You're actually confronting it.
And they weren't going to succeed until Classic Loki actually did change his ways, basically. I mean, he was content to just stay in the void and not like and just keep running away from Eliath for the rest of his life, apparently.
Right. Which seems super
weird to me. But you know, they're showing all these different versions of the same character. So I think that brings out the idea that yes, they can overcome their basic problem, to the point,
you know, our Loki doesn't leave with Mobius, which was also an mm-hmm. option, right? He had the option to go and chose not to.
Yeah. I thought Richard E. Grant's, I don't even want to call it a transformation. I mean, he'd been feeling bad because he ran, right? Like, Thanos came and killed everybody, and this is the Loki that ran. He hadn't ran. It didn't come out of the blue to me that he would sort of sacrifice his life in this case to try to make things better. Because I think he's the character that didn't choose what our Loki did, and he's been sitting on that on a planet for God knows how many decades or hundreds of years. Dan, sorry, you weren't here when we discussed that earlier, but the timekeepers didn't come for him until he tried to get off that planet.
Right.
Which was like, okay, you can go and hide out and you're ineffective, you're not doing anything. But, you know, the moment you try to re-engage, well, we're going to come scoop you up. And I get that. Like you've got to sit there over those years and being like, well, I let my brother die. You know, one of the other things I wanted to mention was that Kid Loki says that he killed Thor and nobody celebrates.
Yeah, that's a good
nobody
point.
Feels good about that. Everybody's like, I mean, especially our Loki. He's like, I get it.
Yeah.
That's the goal. But I don't feel good about that outcome.
Nobody ever really wanted that, right? Like, that was...
Right.
It was a nominal thing that people were
the
trying
game
to
was
do.
The thing, right?
Yes, exactly. No, I think that's a good point. I think that there is a strong argument that, like, you know, all of them fit this pattern of sort of digressing from where they were supposed to be, but in ways that, like, made them kind of, you know, harmless. I don't know, it's not quite the right word, but It is interesting to see how they all play out in these different ways. Of course, we don't know what the alligator did.
Well,
That's true. He
chomped off President Loki's hand, which, I don't know.
I thought it was super fun.
Yeah, I mean, given one...
His reaction is what makes it, too. That's the other thing.
Yeah, Tom there's Hiddleston definitely one there. President out of 45 that I would love to have chopped up.
Maybe two.
Yeah, well, there's probably more than a few.
There's probably more than a few. Yeah, really, yeah.
So we're left in a position where we are confronting sort of the ultimate end of this. And
mm-hmm. yeah, and it also still seems like there's a lot to wrap up. It in a way, you know, like, so they have to wrap up everything at the TVA, and then they also have to wrap up, well, stuff wherever Loki and Sylvie are going.
So, I mean, so, play the game where, like, if WandaVision, the end of WandaVision was all about Mephisto, is this all about Kang?
So that's it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Let's, I mean, Vita Larry. Go ahead, John.
No, I'm sticking with Loki. I'm sticking with another Loki. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Me too. Yeah. Vita Larry wrote in Kangspiracy Corner with 2Ks, which I feel is, I mean, that's falling into the Krispy Kreme trap where they can never make crepes for breakfast because it's not going to be good.
I'm not aware of that one.
Well,
is that new?
You don't want a Krispy Kreme crepe, is all I'm saying. You kind of want to, you know, while it may be a good
I don't know.
I think that's something you want to get into.
That could be tasty.
Probably is. I guess what I'm saying is, or suggesting is that anything but a Loki variant does not make sense for this show. Is it Kang?
Yeah.
We've got innumerable references to Kang. We do. Like, could it be somebody else? I don't know. Could it be Hank Pym? Whatever. Whoever you think it may be. For the sake of the story, I think it needs to be a Loki. I really do. Could it be weird? Could it be like David Tennant as Doctor Who is a Loki? Maybe. You know? Like, there's things you could do. Could it be Richard E. Grant? Right. Maybe there's definitely
it's crocodile Loki. That's why.
sure. Whatever.
Not alligator Loki. Crocodile Loki.
I actually think
this show has been about who Loki is, and to resolve that with like I'm a mustache twirling villain that you've never heard of is like it's not going to happen. I don't know if you've been watching WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier. You know, it's going to be connected.
There's no big left turn at the end, right?
I think I would actually suggest of the possible culprits, the highest is another Sylvie.
Sure.
And
it would.
Yeah, I mean that's right.
Potentially tie in with her distaste for being called Loki.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps if she's crossed paths with them before.
I'd buy that. Yeah. And Renslayer, where do we think she is on this? Like, in her acceptance? So, like, she's clearly... Well, maybe not clearly, but I...
So, here's like my one conspiracy, my one possible Kang conspiracy is that she is Kang. And it's just put into the end, like, you know... She is revealed to be something else at the very end, in like a post-credit scene or something like that. But I think that's a vague possibility. But I still think it's probably fairly low.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, like a very.
But she's not. But she's not the one. She's not the one who set up the TVA. It's a Kang who's like trying to figure out who did this as well.
Yeah, I mean, we do have a Kang cast for the Ant-Man movie, but that doesn't mean she's not a variant or like
Sarah right, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. 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 Well, there are a lot of Kangs. A lot of Kangs.
I think that the Renslayer thing is I think she's a wild card. I could kind of see her going either way.
Well, that's a good question. Do we believe her motivations? She expresses the same motivations to Sylvie, but she's clearly lying in a. She felt so sincere that I was confused as to what was going on, to be honest.
Oh, I didn't believe her. I was very suspicious.
I didn't believe her either. Yeah.
I didn't believe her, but I'm like, this is a weird switch. Because the very last scene, here's the thing. The last scene we saw her in, she was in the throne room asking Sylvie, not daring Sylvie to murder her, basically, with like one of those staffs. And then we cut to the throne room, the courtroom, and now she's just playing along. It was weird. There was a weird break in motivation and characterization between those two scenes, and that sort of left me a little bit confused as to what was going on and what
the ending last week was involved her demanding to know everything, which is why it didn't bother me as much to have her sort of hauled down to the courtroom under at least the pretense of like, okay, now you're gonna tell me all the details.
But why? It's an empty courtroom. There's nobody there.
Yeah, that didn't bother me that much. But I did think it was a little weird. Like, why did they move? Why did they move positions? Why didn't they stay where they were? I didn't understand.
Weird.
Yeah, I guess so. Dead robots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fair enough.
But I am curious as to what her ultimate motivation is, because she does seem sincere that she wants to know what's going on.
Well, yeah, and we also have the whole, plot thread dangling of her relationship with Mobius, right? Because we have that discussed in terms of them having this friendship. In fact, it's called out specifically in the previously on pack this week. They bring it back to that line, and it seems significant because why else put so much attention on it?
Also called out is her, also called out is her saying just, zap me with that thing.
Yeah.
Like, did she know that she was going to go to this? I guess she did. Did she explain
it? Yeah, she did. Yeah, she explained it. Right.
Yeah. Which was kind of close to a conspiracy theory, I think I've floated with you guys, which is like, pruning doesn't mean like it's destroyed. Right. It just means that it's like they collect on the floor, which is not what they ended up doing. But you don't destroy it. You just dislocate it from the main timeline.
It's like deleting something, right? Where it's like the free space is not
you removed the reference to
exactly.
it
exactly.
It's not in the directory anymore, but it's still out there.
No, I like that. I thought that was actually one of my favorite parts of this, was just the whole like, yeah, all that stuff's still around. Obviously we can't just destroy matter.
And I think they set it up really well though, because they didn't, you know, when Mobius got pruned, that was a very dramatic moment.
Yeah,
absolutely. And worked like, I was shocked. I mean, I was very shocked by that, because they said, you know, they basically, you know, here's this horrible way that like somebody gets killed, and then you're like, oh, okay, they don't get killed, but they could get killed because they could get eaten by Eliath.
Yeah.
How did you guys feel about Mobius saying goodbye to Loki and Sylvie?
I like that scene a lot. I thought it was great.
I like that scene a lot too. Yeah, yeah. And he's telling her that she's his favorite, right?
I know.
I know.
But like, I love that. Like, the Loki he's hugging is hearing that in his ear and feeling that. And, like, but he's like, it's the ultimate Loki move on Loki, which is so great.
Right. Right.
But is he gone? That feels like he's like,
no.
Okay,
we'll
I'm
see
out
him.
Here.
We'll
I'll
see him.
You guys on the other side.
No, he may not see Loki again, but he'll be back.
Not finished.
And we still, I still think somehow we'll see whatever his. And because that's another question that's still sitting out there that I think probably needs to be resolved next week is what is his real story? Who was he before?
Where did he come from? Where was he was
in the TVA. I mean, and they can probably do that fairly quickly. It doesn't need to be protracted.
I do think that he is now, you know, as he's saying at the end there, like his stated purpose is like burning it all down, right? So, you know, he is going to have some face-to-face time with Renslayer, and there's going to be some ultimate decision of whether or not the TVA needs to go. And that may impact what Loki and Sylvie are doing at the same time in determining who is behind the TVA, because the TVA itself seems like basically been set up to be autonomous, right? Like, I think this is the implication here.
Yeah.
Somebody created it and then let it run along its merry way and decided, you know, I don't need to, you know, keep checking in and running this thing. It's doing something for me, and I am gonna, you know, bide my time basically until I get my whatever it's set up to do, which is, I do think, meshes well with the theory that it is another Loki who is basically, you know, inveigled their way into this thing, created it to like run autonomously so that maybe it's just eliminating all the other Lokis basically.
A lot of the expressions you've used to even describe that are sort of based on mechanics, right? Like you wind the clock and you just let it go and it's going to go autonomously, automatically. It's going to keep ticking down. It's going to go do its thing. conspiracy corner here. Is Mobius the guy in the castle?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so either.
I think not as well.
Yeah. I am trying to stick to the, you know, I really do believe it's a character we've seen.
There's very little impact.
And there's clearly, not a lot of characters that we've seen, right? So
it's clearly Dr. Doom. Yeah, it's Dr. Doom.
I was going to say, it's clearly
well, everything's
the guy,
green, so yeah.
The guy from the
yeah.
first.
That, I did think that for a minute. Like
the guy from the very first episode who gets vaporized, like the guy whose dad works at like somewhere. Mm-hmm. That guy.
Goldman Sachs.
Yeah. He's behind
sure,
it all.
Right.
Wait, yeah. Could it be Casey?
That'd be funny. No, it can't be Casey. No. Oh, he's a good guy. He's well-meaning. It's not Phil Boy, man. No way.
It's going to be a DH Mark Hamill. That's who it's going to be.
crossover.
Just throw it in there at the last minute. Yeah.
Do we have other things to say, or should we do a rating?
Yeah, I'm good with the rating.
Yeah.
Let's do a rating.
Okay.
John, you want to go first?
Yeah, no, I thought it was Biff. Like, I don't think it's my favorite episode, but I don't think it was as, you know, quote unquote bad as episode 3. I didn't think that was bad either, but I mean, it was not the strongest episode. So I don't I think it would be in between 3 and the other ones for me, but a lot that I really liked in it. And I mean, I loved the Spider-Man Far From Home because one of the things that I loved in it was the awkward teenage romance. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I got some of that in this episode because they were acting like a couple of teenagers, which I found right. completely adorable. And I really liked that. So there's Richard E. Grant, delightful as classic Loki. And some of the silliness, I think, was just fun as well. The you know, the Loki, all the Lokis fighting, the alligator Loki biting his hand off, and I mean all that stuff I found. And the, you know, pizza truck and pulling, I mean, anytime you see a pizza truck is usually you're watching something that's fun. So.
I had missed the Thanos copter. I just mm-hmm. liked in that yeah. by. I did love have Throg, right? Throg's
yes.
in there briefly.
Yeah. Trying to get the hammer, yeah. Right. Can't quite get it. You'd think he should just be able to summon it, but you know, whatever. It's okay. That's fine. Just
well,
having,
he's
having
not, he's not worthy because he's so just angry that he's trapped in a little glass jar. Yeah.
So it's a regular old Biff for me.
Regular old Biff guy. What about you?
Yeah.
Just getting by on a Biff. Yeah. Biff.
Biff.
You know, like John was saying, I think episode 3 sort of fell sort of on the cusp for me. And I knocked it down to John Jr. This is close to that, but better. Mostly because we learn a lot about the characters. We get to see Loki in his various forms, and also Richard E. Grant. And I'm not going to give any episode yeah. that Richard E. Grant shows up like a lesson of Biff. Like he's just great. And the way he stands there and summons,
yeah,
like mm-hmm. it's so great. Just
his over the top mannerisms when he's doing magic are great.
It's so good, and he's so. I like the way that he poo-poos the idea of blades. He's like, that's, mm-hmm.
yeah.
that's for idiots. You know, like, yeah. I'm just going to go do some. It feels like Yoda before he whipped out a lightsaber, right? Where you're like, okay,
yeah.
don't mess with this guy because he's going to do
yeah.
some crazy stuff.
He doesn't
you know?
Even need that, yeah. right? Yeah.
Doesn't well, that's it. Why, yeah. No, that was always my opinion, but whatever.
Oh. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, 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 me too. I mean, growing up in school, yeah, it's like.
Lucas yeah. does not return my calls, so.
George? I'll give him a shout. Let me text him.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. He's gonna text me back the skull face. it's a Biff. I think it's good. I think I would have liked to have seen a little bit more traction on the story in this one. I feel like there's been two episodes that stalled in order to tell us a little bit more about the character, which is good, but didn't need to necessarily stall the story in order to do so. That I think I don't.
Yeah, you want to. I'm not feeling fully interweaved about this. I think,
sorry,
you know, like you want it to be the whole thing to be a little more seamlessly interweaved, and I think they struggle. I think both of the other shows have struggled with that at times as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Falcon and Winter Soldier certainly did. It certainly struggled with like the, okay, now we have action, 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 and then we take a step back. And I feel like in some movies that works, but you're working on a much larger time frame here. And so taking a step back for 45 minutes, you couldn't do that in a movie when you have a 2-hour runtime, right? Like that's like a huge chunk of the movie. And I think it's harder to do here, and they're still sort of trying to figure out how to adapt the formula, for lack of a better word, to a longer medium. But I agree, it should be more interleaved, and it feels a little bit like, all right, this episode's plot, this episode's character, this episode's plot, this episode is character.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Yeah. Let me be clear. That's not damning. People are trying to figure out how to do this. This is a very new way of telling stories, right? Like week by week is one thing, but there's no ads. It's effectively a 6-hour movie. What does that mean? Right, like how do you wrap your head around like the pacing
fashion,
and kind of get like how do you, Mandalorian sort of escaped that by having effectively a monster of the week cadence?
If you did a certain kind of Marvel show, you could do that.
You'd have to deliberately make it clear that's what it was. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're going to do something new, it's not always going to work out amazingly the first time.
Yeah.
And yet, I've been enjoying it. I think it's great. Obviously, could be better, but for what it is, I'm a really big fan.
Yeah. I think I round out the Biffs. I only attempt to watch this once before we recorded, which is I usually watch twice. And I do think, as I said, it reminded me a little bit of the episode on the planet, and I think that was not my favorite aspect of it. But that said, I liked what happened here much more. I liked the dynamics between the characters. Having the additional Lokis to sort of run into added more color to this, which was a lot more fun. Richard E. Grant, I will second and third what you know everybody else has said. He's fantastic, and that character is a lot of fun. So I think that there's a lot of redeeming stuff here that the moments between Loki and Sylvie, I think rang even better with me here than they did elsewhere.
They just,
as John said, like that awkward relationship thing between the two of them, it's a great scene. And they both kind of knocked it out of the park.
They haven't even kissed. They haven't even kissed. Not that you have to have that, but it's what you usually have. And I'm kind of worried that I love it.
That might destroy the universe.
First of all, I believe that love story a lot more than I believe many of the other goofy TV love stories. If only because neither of them seem they're not overtly dedicated to it, right? Like there is no pining after each other. It's mostly I'm going to make a blanket for myself, and I want to make a blanket for you, but I feel like that would be overstepping my bounds. Like there's a cute,
right?
I think John, you were saying like a teenage sweetness to it, right?
There's a quiet simpatico of spirit into it, like that. I think just really kind of is what nails it. Is that they are the same, and so they kind of act the same way, and it's. And it's weird because it's out of keeping with who they believe themselves to be, but that capacity has always been in them. And like, it's just, it's lovely.
And it occurs to me, that's another aspect of the story that is there that we haven't really talked about. Just the fact that they are two people we've touched on it, but who never expected to find somebody else. And I think as a, you know, like there's a lot of people in the world like that. So this is a nice story. Growing up, I mean, when I was in junior high school, I thought, oh my God, I'm never going to find a girlfriend. And, eventually, against the odds, I did. So it's
did you have
it's
to
something
find
that I think a lot
of
people
though, John.
I don't want to talk about it right story? Now. I don't want to talk about what happened right now.
I felt that rage.
It was
right up
it was
until
the,
we started doing this show.
It was at the end of time, and anyway, no, just I mean, I just I like that. I like that that. Touching on that piece thing that there are a lot of people who have felt and they're doing in a show with like superheroes and stuff. I mean, like it's great.
Well, I mean, as weird as this relationship is in it, Sylvie and Loki are aspects of a shared soul, I guess. I don't know.
I think they're different. I think they're different people.
They're more like they have
the same job.
Where I was going with that is that they've done a better job explaining why this relationship may work out than Thor and Jane Foster.
I think that's probably true.
No, that was because
they've had more time.
That was just because of the script. That's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Look at the pages.
Yeah, I love that the script said so much that Natalie Portman's like, I'm not interested in these scripts anymore.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Well, I think that's I don't think that wasn't that bad. I don't think. I mean, I think Banner
but it wasn't
and
anything. It was just nothing. Like, they could have done a better job, and they just didn't bother, which was fine because those movies didn't require that. And at the same time, you're kind of wasting a. Like a really great actress. Or,
right. So, well, I mean, actor. You know.
Yeah. Well,
not to get too much, well, but now, there's a reason she came back, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And his name is Taika Waititi.
Yeah. 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 Well, if you can't get two people that attractive to have chemistry, I don't know what you're doing. I don't even know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. 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 No kidding.
All right. Well, we have one episode left to go, and we'll be back next week to wrap that up. But as always, I would like to thank my co-hosts. John Mulse, thanks for being here.
Can I go back to Black Widow now?
I'm not the boss of you, John.
Yes. Okay, good.
Yes. Guy English. Right. Always a pleasure.
I am also going to go back to watching Black Widow. Right
I hate
now.
You both.
I have to go. Actually, have to go spend time with my family.
Oh well.
Wait.
So I'm not going to be able to watch Black Widow.
I also have to go
right
spend
now.
Time with John's family, so it's an awkward.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Sorry. I'm going to go spend time with my family, Rachel Weiss.
Nice.
Also a little jealous.
Yeah.
Lucky.
All right. So, we'll be back next week. As always, we'll remind you, we have t-shirts for sale right now. If you go to cottonbureau.com, search for BiffCast, you'll see many, many Loki options. And
So many different Lokis. So many different t-shirts.
Yeah, so many variant t-shirts. Who knows what will be next in our t-shirt catalog.
That's right.
We've got another show to cover in August. So, we have a couple. Ugh. We're overloaded with superhero shows, guys. We're going to have to start.
we should start a podcast about
it. I was going to say, we have to start franchising is what we have to do.
That's right.
Kind of are.
That's true. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in, reading the transcripts. We appreciate it. Keep sending those letters, biff@theincomparable.com or @BiffCast on Twitter. We'll be back next week. We'll see you then.